Well, friends, if you turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3, Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 13, found on page 1666, 1666, Ephesians 3, 1 through 13. We're continuing the series of messages, working our way through the book of Ephesians, Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 13. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you, that is, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Beloved in Christ, as we've been traveling through Paul's letter to the Ephesian church, we learned last time some huge news for Jews and Gentiles. Gentiles, of course, are non-Jews. The news was that Jesus Christ, through his death and resurrection, has made it possible for Gentiles who believe in Jesus to get close to God. Remember, we said those who were far away from God now may come near to God. For Jewish people who believed in Jesus, the same is true, but they had a history of closeness with God. Now, the Gentile Christians have joined them, and they joined the Jewish Christians as equals, as members of one body, the body of Christ. The two have become one. Gentile Christians now have all the benefits that Jewish people had for thousands of years. Of course, this is no longer any great mystery to us today. One commentator, in fact, says that the parts of Ephesians that we read last time and this time are a few of the least preached on paragraphs in the Bible. Because today, it is universally accepted that any race or nation or color or people may turn to Christ when they are called and have a place side by side with other brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. The commentator said, typically, the only time you hear these passages preached is when a preacher is working through the entire letter of Ephesians. What are we doing? We're working through the entire letter of Ephesians, preaching on each section of it. So today you're hearing a second sermon, mind you, on something you already take for granted. You really don't need to hear it again, let alone hear it at all. In light of that, I am honored you chose to be here tonight. Now, we're not going to spend all our time this evening, some of it, not all of it, going over the same insights that we talked about last time. Rather, what we'll do tonight is we're going to keep our eyes on the Apostle Paul and his Christian ministry. and what Christ, what God is doing in his life, what God has in store for him, the Apostle Paul. So we're going to have five short sermonettes, as they say, about what God is up to in Paul's life, followed by a prayer after each one. Are you ready? Good. First sermonette. We meet up with Paul, the prisoner. Earlier, Paul had called himself Paul, an apostle, as he began that letter. Now, Paul identifies himself this way: I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus. Paul, if you have forgotten, is at this time under house arrest in Rome. We're told about it in Acts 28. House arrest back then meant that Paul rents a house but has a guard with him at all times. But for 2 years, 2 years under this house arrest, Paul is allowed to preach to those who come to him. He welcomes them and then preaches to them. Yet because he is under house arrest, he is still a prisoner. He was arrested for stirring up cities with the good news of Jesus Christ. He's arrested for preaching the good news message of Christ to the Gentiles, to non-Jews. Well, the Jews are having a hard time, we talked about this last time, getting used to the good news that Gentiles are now going to be united with them because they're all united to Christ. For the Jews, that is kind of bad news. They can't handle the grace shown to Gentiles. So the Jews bring some trumped up charges against Paul, get him arrested. He is seen by several judges, but eventually as a Roman citizen, Paul appeals to Caesar, the head honcho in Rome, and so he must be taken to Rome to make his appeal. So think about the irony of this. Paul is arrested for preaching the good news of Christ to the Gentiles. Jews don't like it. They get him arrested. He lands in Gentile territory, Rome, and even though he's a prisoner, he is allowed to welcome Gentiles into his home and preach the good news to more of the Gentiles in a place where Gentiles are in plentiful supply, Rome. And this is the very thing he was arrested for. This beautiful irony here. I hope you see it. Now, Paul, the prisoner of Christ, notice he refers to himself not as a prisoner of Rome or of the Jews. He calls himself a prisoner of Christ Jesus. Christ, you see, is at work in Paul's life. Christ has put Paul in a position as his prisoner, his slave, his servant, his willing, able, and ready servant, a prisoner of Christ Jesus. Paul is ready to serve his time. Let us pray. Christ Jesus, thank you for introducing us to Paul the prisoner tonight. What an opportunity you gave him to be your servant under house arrest. We are your servants too, so open our eyes, Christ Jesus, to the opportunities you give us to be your servants, our own hearts arrested by you, imprisoned with you, and with opportunities you put right in front of us every single day. Thank you, Christ Jesus. Amen. Second sermonette, this one we know about. It's the promise in Christ. The second sermonette is about the message of promise that God is especially preparing for prisoner Paul, a message that includes the wonderful promise for the Gentiles, as we said, that they share together in the same promises that are in Christ Jesus. And again, it's that together promise. Jew and Gentile Christians are together, heirs together, members together, promise sharers together. Paul tells us that this is a great mystery, a mystery promise, not in the sense that it's something hard to figure out, but a mystery promise in the sense of God wasn't ready to reveal it for thousands of years. A mystery promise whose time has finally come. A mystery promise that is finally about to be revealed during prisoner Paul's time. Now, of course, Jesus Christ's coming, the Messiah's coming, was made known, was prophesied about, and even Jesus Christ being a light to the Gentiles was prophesied about for hundreds of years, that the Gentiles would be saved by Christ too. But this notion of Gentiles being on equal footing with Jews was only ready to be revealed by God around the time of Paul. It was a new situation for the Jewish people and the Gentile people. God puts them together when they believe in Jesus Christ. God makes the two one in Christ's body on the cross. The mystery promise in Christ, in this fullness of time moment, during Paul's day, God will make this mystery known. God will reveal it at last. Gentiles will share every promise in Christ. What are they? Forgiveness straight from God. Eternal life straight from God. Oneness in Christ straight from God. That is equal footing together. One body, one church. The mystery promise in Christ for the Gentiles includes all those promises that we know so well and sometimes take for granted. Here is when God was ready to reveal it. Let us pray. Christ Jesus, thank you for telling us once more of your glorious promise for us, that you didn't leave us out in the cold. No, you unveiled the mystery promise for us right here. We're Gentiles, right at this set time, set from all eternity. And you introduced us to your forgiveness that we need so desperately in order to come near to you. And you introduced us to your eternal life that we need so desperately in order to live forever with you. Thank you, Christ Jesus, for including us. Amen. Third sermonette. Prisoner Paul here comes face to face with the power of Christ, the power of the one who is ruler over all, his power. That's the way the Apostle Paul refers to it, the power of God, the power of Christ. Paul is a prisoner. He's ready to serve. God has his shared mystery promise all ready to be revealed, and now comes the power of Christ. That mystery promise is going nowhere without it. Prisoner Paul is going nowhere without it. You see, Paul is not able to get started serving until power comes upon him from on high. Paul says, I became a servant of the gospel, this gospel, by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. What's happening here? Well, God is exerting his power in order to give his grace to Paul. And what is that grace? Well, Paul tells us, he says, this grace was given to me, and here it is, to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ, to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery. So what's happening here? Almighty God, through the working of his power. Now, remember what kind of power God has? In chapter 1, Paul introduced us to it, remember? He has incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. That power, and that power cannot be overstated. It's the power that raised Jesus from the dead. Think of it. That power, Paul tells us, is the power that has turned Paul into a servant of the gospel. A moment ago, we said that Paul was a prisoner of Christ, a person ready to serve Christ. Well, here we find out the reason that Paul is a person ready to serve Christ. It is nothing less than the working of God's power, Christ's power, turning him into that servant of Christ. God has powerfully worked grace into Paul's life. And this grace referred to is a special and powerful dispensing of grace that brings a responsibility for service to the one on whom it is dispensed. Do you see that in the text? I hope you do. Paul is saying to us that Christ worked his power into Paul's life and by his powerful grace turned him into a person ready to be used by God. Let us pray. Christ Jesus, thank you for reminding us once more of your incomparable power. With it, you turned a prisoner into a person ready to be used. Could that power be for us too? Would you? Would you dispense that power into us so that we too are ready to be used by God? Forgive us when we'd just as soon stay as far away as we can from that power because, well, sometimes we aren't interested in being used by you. Help us look deep into our hearts to see if there is a place, if there is a place that is talking back to you and telling you not to bother, just to keep your power. If you find that sentiment in us, Christ Jesus, root it out of the sediment of our hearts. So to make room for your power. Thank you, Christ Jesus. Amen. Fourth sermonette. The prisoner of Christ, ready to serve. The promise in Christ, ready to be revealed. The power of Christ, ready to be used. And now, the preacher of Christ, the Apostle Paul. He's ready to share the gospel, the good news. Now, sometimes we think Paul is some great, fearless, confident person in and of himself, the Apostle Paul. That's not the case. His name means little. Little. And this is when names meant something. When God used names for teachable moments or to make a point, and Paul uses the fact that his name means little to make his own little play on words. He says in verse 8, although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, less than the least. How can someone be less than the least? And his name means little. It's beautiful for us to know this, that this is not a man in and of himself who is Saint Super Speaker, but rather Mr. Little here. Mr. Little is the one who tells us that God's grace through the working of God's power was given to me, Paul. And here he says is what it was given for, to preach to the Gentiles, to gospelize, literally, gospelize, to tell out the good news of the boundless riches of Christ for the Gentiles, that they can have the riches too. And guess what? With that working of grace through God's power into Paul's life, when that kind of massive power hits tiny little Paul, when that strength of Christ hits that weakness of Paul, you cannot quiet Paul down. He can't stop gospelizing for the Gentiles, sharing with them the good news of Christ. You can't quiet him down. Throw him in jail, he keeps preaching. Send him a little opposition, he keeps preaching. Get the Jews mad at him, he keeps preaching. Shipwreck him, he keeps preaching. Beat him, he keeps preaching. He's like the Energizer Bunny, keeps preaching and preaching and preaching. Now, congregation, don't even make any sort of connection to the length of my sermons, okay? Not even as a joke, because we're almost done. God, by his powerful grace, made Paul a preacher of Christ, and Paul was ready to gospelize, share the gospel message, shout out the good news. He was. Let us pray. Christ Jesus, thank you for making little Paul a massive mouthpiece for sharing the gospel good news message. That's just like you, God, to use the little, the weak, the disadvantaged, the lesser vessels in greater ways than they could ever have imagined. Help us to imagine what you can do with us. Thank you, Christ Jesus. Amen. Fifth, final sermonette in verse 10. You've got to notice that the emphasis shifts away from what Paul the Little is doing and moves to what the church is to do. The imagining in our prayer just now that we prayed, God turns instantly to realizing in his word. As Paul shifts to the eternal purpose of God, verse 10 says, God's intent was that now, through the church, say that with me, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. The three words you said are simple to understand, through the church. But what is the rest of that complicated sentence mean? It's saying that the purpose in Christ, the same purpose that Paul was a part of, the purpose in Christ is that you and I go and do likewise. We tell out the good news for all people, for all whom the Lord our God will call. We tell of Christ's salvation, his death and resurrection. We tell of Christ making the many into one in his body, the church. We tell of barriers broken down. We tell of everyone being equal, united before God. We tell of the love that is supposed to rule in the body of Christ. We tell it out. And when we do that, listen, here's the meaning, listen. The rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, even they sit up and take notice. They see it. And some of them fear it, like the devil and his demons. And some of them marvel at it, like the angels above. Hard to believe, isn't it? That the way the church behaves and acts and shares the good news is observed by spiritual powers greater than us. But Paul says, oh, they are watching. Intently, they are watching. And when we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, those spiritual powers see the manifold wisdom of God, how great his perfect wisdom is. The purpose in Christ for you and me, for the church, is to go and do likewise, to tell out the good news that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, and in him is his beautiful united body, the church. And so we ask ourselves today, are we ready to go and do likewise, to do Christian ministry? Are we ready? What does it mean to be ready? Go through the list. Are we prisoners of Christ? Eager to serve? Do we know the promise in Christ? Eager to learn the good news in his word? Do we ask God for the power of Christ? Eager to be used? Do we ask God to be preachers of Christ in word and deed? Eager to share the gospel? Are we committed to the purpose in Christ? Eager to go and do likewise? You know, there's a spot in most of our communion liturgies, we celebrate communion, where we all say, or I say it on all of our behalf, that we proclaim this good news to all who will hear, both now and until he comes again. That's the Christian ministry of Paul, and that's the Christian ministry of you and me, the church. Are you ready for it? Think of all you learned today. Think of the power of God available to ordinary people who serve him. Paul's Christian ministry. Are you ready for it? Are you ready to go and do it? To go and do likewise. Let us pray once more. Thank you, Christ Jesus, for putting a purpose for our lives into us, into our hearts, to see and read and learn what you teach us in your word. We see little Paul, a prisoner who knows the promise, has been given your power, is ready to preach with a singular purpose, yours. And in ways that you have prepared for us ahead of time, you bid us all to be ready to go and do likewise. Help us, convict us, empower us, compel us to do just that. Thank you, Christ Jesus. Amen.